So, Nintendo has unveiled its adaptation in the American market to the tariff situation, and it kind of makes sense. Basically, they've frozen the Switch 2 price and the price of the games, but they've appreciated the accessory prices by between 7 and 25%, but usually some kind of roundish number, $1, $5 or $10, depending on the base price. I think the most painful one here for them will be the Switch 2 camera. Since the camera is not essential and it's possible to use any USB camera, even if people are minded to use GameChat in the first place, an obvious way for people to save money is to use a different USB camera, and there's a chance a lot of people will have one or be able to acquire one more cheaply than $55. I don't think it's essential to GameChat's fortunes that people pick up a camera and use it, but they will definitely want to build momentum around this feature, and so the price increase, while proportionately small and to a peripheral that is a smaller part of their revenue, won't really help. What's the strategy here then? While it's impossible to say for sure, I would suggest that they're likely to be simply passing on the costs imposed by the tariffs. I said a while back that one strategy I expect them to follow would be to direct Vietnamese Switch 2 to the USA as a priority, therefore avoiding tariff issues from China, and a recent investigation looking at shipping data bears this out, with a Eurogamer report suggesting that 100% of Vietnamese Switch 2 consoles were shipped to the US in January of 2025. But Nintendo will not have an infinite amount of warehouse space, and while it's of course possible and relatively inexpensive to flex their warehouse space, these small marginal costs add up. Better, I'd suggest, to focus on Switch 2 warehousing, ship accessories last minute, pass on the tariff costs, and hold low numbers on hand, but be able to sell plenty of Switch 2 consoles. Of course, if a 10% uplift followed on the console as well, this could still bring the base price of Switch 2 up to $495, with $550 as the likely price for the Mario Kart bundle when they inevitably refresh it after its supposedly limited edition first outing. When or if they initiate this price is going to depend on a number of things. First of all, it will depend on how the trade negotiations go between America and key suppliers. I would not expect the Chinese supply chain of Switch 2s to be US-bound anytime soon, but Vietnam, Cambodia, and potentially others remain possible. Video game manufacturers banded together and negotiated in 2019 and 2020 with a broadly positive outcome for the industry. Obviously, the details of a full and comprehensive trade deal could be years away, but specific commitments on key sectors that benefit multiple nations seem like an easier win and would be enough to be able to keep the Switch 2 prices down, it would be hoped. But let's assume that there is no change to the status quo and months pass with Nintendo eating ever higher costs on Switch 2. 10% tariffs would be set against the slight extra they'll be making on accessories, which are for the most part uplifts of more than 10%, but this was a pretty meagre figure anyway, as I don't imagine they're going to be selling that many accessories. If they had a million or so Switch 2 stateside before the 10% hike was announced, then they would probably need another 2 or 3 million to get them through to the end of December. I would guess that the key metric here, therefore, will be sales velocity. The very first Switch 2s will sell out, no question. Even the Wii U sold out right out of the bat. The question is going to be whether it can maintain that momentum as we enter July and August. Ironically, the potential scarcity of Switch 2s is in itself likely to drive more people to get one, figuring that a surefire $450 price tag is still better than $500 a few months down the track for a system that they want to get anyway. And this in itself might make shortages a self-fulfilling prophecy. If by September Nintendo have sold all of their tariff-free Switch 2s and are still shifting stock, at that point, they will need to make a critical choice. Either they prioritize getting as many Switch 2s in front of the consumer as possible, as soon as possible, and they pay a significant penalty for that in terms of the tariffs, or they bite the bullet and enact a 10% uplift on the whole line. The thing is, they're going to need to do this anyway in the long term, and while raising the price ahead of your most critical sales window is far from ideal, their strategy this year is not completely reliant on Switch 2 to sell. Look how many games they've already got that are Nintendo Switch 2 edition versions of current Nintendo Switch titles. There's pretty much one Nintendo Switch 2 edition for every Switch 2 exclusive for the first few months, and I fully expect this to continue with further announcements for games before the end of the year. The reason for this seems to me to be quite simple. They can promote games to both Switch and Switch 2 customers concurrently, meaning that an advertising campaign focused around Super Mario Party Jamboree, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, and, I've no doubt, Super Mario Bros. Wonder will not be wasted whether it targets Switch or Switch 2 consumers. Moreover, for the reasons I've enumerated previously, console demand does have some resilience to price increases. Obviously, there are examples like the PlayStation 3 and the Sega Saturn where the first pitch was way over the top, but these examples are rare, and even the PlayStation 3 did respectably. Moreover, Nintendo has hardly avoided harsh criticism for its pricing decisions until now, so the thought of additional criticism because of a price hike in the future is unlikely to faze them too much. But most crucially of all, they will only be in the position of having run out of untariffed Switch 2s precisely as a result of the popularity of the console, so they will literally have proof that they can raise the price and maintain demand if this eventuality occurs. Another way that they might decide to keep the price static until January is if the dollar stays as strong as it is and potentially appreciates a little more against the yen. Currently, Nintendo has made significant profits off an ahistoric imbalance in the exchange rates, which means that they make a lot from US purchases. My guess is that the $450 price tag has a margin already built in, anticipating the depreciation of the dollar against the yen, and this process has already been in evidence over the last month. Still, if the yen stays relatively weak and the dollar stays the same or rallies, this would create an extra profit that Nintendo can use to offset against the tariff costs. If the yen rises in value against the dollar, the headroom to preserve the $450 price point would probably vanish, unless, of course, and this is a strange one but hear me out, they are bailed out by the Japanese consumer. The Japanese console is cheaper, but if the yen becomes far stronger and the Japanese Switch 2s do absolutely gangbuster sales, the price of manufacturing the console in yen terms will go down, and the Japanese Switch 2 will go from being sold at a slight loss or at cost, as seems likely to be the case at present, to making a profit on each system sold. America is a bigger market for Japan outright, but it is a more intensely loyal market to Nintendo, and it's perfectly possible that the velocity of Japanese Switch 2 sales could exceed that of American sales. As a result, while currency considerations are important to Nintendo, I actually think the pricing decision of the Japanese Switch 2, which I have seen attract some considerable criticism in light of the apparently high American prices, might prove to be a play that is actually much to the benefit of American customers. Clearly, with so many variables, it is difficult to say how things will play out. I would not bet against some kind of accommodation being made with the relevant countries, or at least an indication on trajectory in the next few months, which could put a price rise off the table for now. But if sales proceed apace, I guess a decision will need to be made around August. It seems unlikely under such circumstances that the August financial briefing will pass without Shuntaro Furukawa being questioned about a potential price rise. This may in itself generate headlines that spark an early surge of sales from panic buyers. I would guess that they would announce a price rise then in late August to September and try to sweeten the narrative straight away by putting a big focus on the value of the system through big new announcements. With the September window likely to feature a Super Mario Bros. 40th anniversary direct and the likely reveal of a new 3D Mario game, it would be an opportune time to make such a change. Of course, if sales are sluggish in the US, then Nintendo can simply keep the existing price, but they won't need to import so many Switch 2s anyway. I would still anticipate a price rise in the new year if things don't change, but I would guess that by then they may be looking at a more long-term solution to the price issue, such as a cheaper version of the existing console, bringing forward a Switch Lite model, or potentially selling a dock-free Switch. Now, I'm not entirely convinced about the benefits to Nintendo of a dock-free Switch all the same. I know the dock has a fan in it and is notionally going for over $100, but the existing Switch dock is basically a huge chunk of plastic with some USB connectors and is sold for quite a high price itself at the moment. It seems to me that most of that cost price is likely to be margin, and so while on paper they could drop the Switch 2 price by $100 if it's dock-free, in reality, if this eats into their margin hugely, it may backfire big time. It seems like they're using the cost of the dock as a way to ameliorate the high cost of developing the Switch 2. Plus, they don't really want Switch 2 to be in the handheld space at this point in its life cycle. The Switch and Switch Lite are their handhelds, and they'd be messing up the late life of those models just for a short-term victory. Therefore, I am sceptical about major changes like this. More likely, they will rely on building up the perception of the system as an essential purchase for gamers, something that the Super Mario Bros. Movie will help to do by raising the profile of their suite of Mario games, including, of course, Mario Kart World, Super Mario Party Jamboree, and doubtless the 2026 3D Mario title, which I fear will now carry a huge weight of expectation on its shoulders. The other question is, if the prices go up, would they come down if a settlement is agreed that allows for a tariff cut? And I think the key is when the settlement is agreed and what the background economy is doing at that point. If inflation is running on the high side of expectations over the coming year, then I imagine that they will simply stick with the higher prices as a hedge. It's far easier to offer discounts on an item that's too pricey than it is to raise prices outside of situations like these, where there is, at least, a political context. If the last few weeks have shown Nintendo anything, it's the difficulty of increasing prices. In 2 years' time, having higher accessory prices may in fact prove rather useful for Nintendo in the American market. I will have more videos on these topics in the coming weeks, but for now, please do check out the Patreon, like, comment, share and subscribe, and I shall see you next time for another Nintendo Forecast video.